welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. Folks, two things, if I can just ask you to do, well, three things if I can ask you to do this. First of all of the intercessors out there, you know what, please, let's have an intercessory prayer and a consistent intercessory prayer for Paul McGuire, his work, and his life. Let's step up and let's really put him and lift him up in prayer. That's number one. Number two, as we are walking through and preparing for what is to come, you know, we are not, the Hagman is not in the business of selling books, but certainly recommending tools to get you through the things that are about to take place. And two of my primers that I give to people, I actually have given these books to people. I've bought them and given them to people because I believe that much in them. A Prophecy of the Future of America.
Yeah.
Of course, number one.
And if I can say something,
yes,
on that book, you know, we go through news and information constantly. And to read a book that gives not only new information and new insight on that information, but in all areas that it covers, is rare.
Exactly.
And that's what that book does.
And that's why it's so important. An entirely new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, is coming out. And this is why the intercessory prayer is so much needed, because Paul is writing feverishly, and this book needs to get in the hand. Trust me when I tell you this, everyone, if you're a Christian, this book needs to get in your hands, and we need to make this book like the number one bestseller on the planet, in every continent, in every school, church. I mean, to me, this is because it is that good. And of course, folks, the Babylon Code, number one on Amazon prophecy books. Let's make it a number one New York Times bestseller, because I'll just tell you flat out, I have learned so much from the Babylon Code that I thought I knew, but no, not until you read it. So that's my, not a sales pitch, but my recommendation for every Christian out there. And if you're interested in, and you should be interested in learning, that's important. Before we get back to Paul, I want to mention as well that one of my favorite websites, folks, is nuts.com, and I talk about them all the time. Joe and I talk about them. My wife orders from nuts.com. In fact, she just ordered a box of nuts and dried fruits. The reason being, we're gonna have a get together, and the first thing that goes off of our table are the nuts, pistachios, dried fruits, and what have you from nuts.com. If you get hungry during the day, have a bag or two in your office. Trust me when I tell you, it will hit the spot. It'll take care of those hunger pangs, especially if you don't have time to leave for lunch. If you've gone to the store, if you've gone to various places where they have nut snacks, whatever, dried fruit, have you seen this sad state of the products out there in the stores? Well, not with nuts.com. Had a great conversation on the telephone with Jeff, the head nut of this third generation family-owned business. And he is so into quality control. It's fabulous. I mean, he really makes it a point to make sure that the product that you receive is the best possible. And that's so important and rare today. But even better than that, folks, right now, new customers can get four free samples. You can choose from over 50 different options. It's a $15 value right now when you go to nuts.com and click on the microphone box there. Click on the mic and enter our code HH. That's a very special gift for Hagman and Hagman listeners, and we want to thank nuts.com for doing that for us. You know, they use only the freshest products and the best suppliers in the world. The site is so easy to use. If you're watching this live via YouTube, Eric is showing you how he can just go on nuts.com, enter the code, and bang, you're right there to various selections. And our favorites are too numerous to mention, but I'll just throw this one phrase out there, Monkey Munch Okay. When I'm sitting and looking at some investigative research product, and I get stumped, brain food, monkey munch to me. All right. And, folks, they also have numerous flavors of coffees, 39 different flavors of coffee. 170 flavors, 39 different kinds of coffee, but over 170 flavors. You can't go wrong. And how about for your boss? Gift tins, trays, baskets, buckets of nuts, buckets of dried fruit. You name it, they've got it. So your one-stop shop for all things snack-related. Right now, folks, new customers, 4 free samples to choose from out of over 50 options. They've got over 3,000 healthy snacks to cater to any diet restrictions as well. So even if you're a diabetic or if you've got gluten restrictions, no matter what, they can serve you well. So new customers, 4 free samples. It's a $15 value. Go to nuts.com. That's nuts.com. Enter our code HH. Nuts.com. Enter our code HH. And go to town, folks, and do it today. Again, Paul McGuire, our very special guest, author, prolific author, and a brother in Christ.
Website is paulmcguire.us and his YouTube channel, Paul McGuire. Check those regularly. He does a great job with the videos he does, and the breakdowns of subjects in videos. And they're very, in-depth and detailed. And I really enjoy listening to him. Just sitting there listening to him and or if I'm doing something else, having him on in the background.
Absolutely. Paul, thanks for holding, through the top of the hour and welcome back, sir. And if I can add, before we go on, if I can just say one thing, we like it. It's as investigators and me personally, I like to look at things from a kind of a higher altitude here. And when you were talking about the family, about the husband and wife, and we didn't script any of this beforehand, but it's interesting that when you had talked about the, for example, the woman in a marriage. It's interesting that the Tavistock Institute, now Dr. John Coleman had done so much research on this, but to weaken the moral fiber of the nation and to demoralize the middle class by creating mass unemployment. You know, we are forced, or some people, just to make ends meet, are forced to have two jobs, or the husband and wife each working and having a job. As jobs dwindle due to the post-industrial zero growth policies introduced by organizations, like the Club of Rome, for example, there's this demoralization, and discouraged workers are resorting to alcohol, to drugs. And you talk about this in your books, and you talk about this on our program, the youth, the unattended children of the marriages where you've got both parents working multiple jobs, they're encouraged by means of rock music and this counterculture mentality and drugs to rebel against the status quo. And people think, their kids will be kids. No, this is a plan by Tavistock and its American counterparts, for example, Stanford Research, to undertake the work of the globalists and the work that has become known as the Aquarian Conspiracy. And again, this comes back directly into the research you've done. And when I think about this, how clueless are people, and especially Christians, to really the agenda that's the destructive agenda, to take away our children, and as you had pointed out, to have the state raise them. Why? Because the middle class is being attacked in every sense of the word. Paul, I'm just going to kick it back to you.
Chrissy, and
there we go.
I'm going to. Can you hear me? It's interesting that you use the word Aquarian conspiracy, because I talk about this in the new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And I want to say this. You know, this may work in many other people's lives as well as my life, but it works in my life as a researcher and an author and a speaker. Am I still there with you guys?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I do a tremendous amount of research, and the Holy Spirit guides and leads that research. And I can't tell you how many ways. And if you go back in time, and I believe this what I'm sharing now applies to probably any person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'd like them to listen to pay close attention, because it applies to their life. It's not just about my life; it applies to their life. You know, God called each one of us before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this. So every single person listening has been called by God before the beginning of time to be here in this time period, in this nation, facing these set of challenges, adversities, and having the resources and blessings he's given us simultaneously. But he chose every one of us to be here for such a time as this. And that implies that every single one of us have been downloaded by God with the supernatural gifts, talents, and abilities necessary to be victorious in this lifetime. And I want to just say that again. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. We all have negative things we face. Every single one of us do. We all face spiritual battles of all kinds. But since God chose you before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this, he already downloaded in you before you were born, because he knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb and planned for you to be here. He downloaded in you the spiritual gifting, the natural talents that he gave you, and he filled you with, every single person listening, he has already filled you with everything you need to be victorious and to overcome all things in this lifetime. Now, somebody may hear what I'm saying and saying, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but I've been going through a lot of hell. And, you know, we all go through trials. And the point I want to make, though, is that you may be saying, well, you don't know my circumstance. No, I don't know your circumstance, but I do know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do know that if you seek his face, most likely, if you're struggling and going through all these kinds of trials, I would suggest to you, if you're listening, that not only that you need to continue to seek the Lord, but you need to be open by meditating in his word to what God wants to give you. And by that I mean God wants you by faith to access his supernatural resources. So in other words, you're facing things in your life, and you may only be using, let's say, hypothetically, seven different things that God has given you. Seven different kinds of wisdom or talents or abilities or whatever. You're using seven things that God has given you to try to fight the spiritual battles, to try to be an overcomer in life. You're using, let's say, seven things, or maybe 14 things, or three things, or maybe 30 things. But I want to suggest to you, if you're listening, that God has for you already, he's already put in your human spirit probably 250 things in terms of talents, abilities, resources. Let's call them apps. Let's just use the term apps. Most people have a cell phone, or most people have a computer. And if they want to be able to operate different systems on their cell phone or their laptop or computer, they download an app, and this app will enable them to do all kinds of things that they couldn't do before until they downloaded the app. I'll give you an example. I won't name the name of my cell phone. It's not an Apple. I wish it was, but my wife has the Apple cell phone, the nice Apple cell phone, because our provider, you know, they had a deal, and I had to settle. I had to settle for the competitor's cell phone, which I hate, and I'll give into the flesh. I'd like to take a hammer and smash it. I'm telling you right now. But she has this marvelous app where she downloaded it, and I won't name the name of it. Many of you may have it. And we're here in L.A. with L.A. traffic and traffic jams like every 5 minutes. And her app will talk to her and tell her, if there's an accident up ahead, give her alternative routes, tell her how long. I mean, this app is so hot, it'll basically talk her through the LA traffic jams. It'll tell her how to avoid if there's I support the police. If you're a police officer, I support the police. I really want you to know that. And those aren't just words. We need to really support our police right now. But it does tell you if there's a cop hiding up ahead, so you slow down so you don't get a ticket. It's a great app, and it really, really makes life a million times better on the freeways, which are hell in L.A. I don't have that app, and my GPS system crashed. So I have to print out from Google Maps how I'm going to get somewhere, and I have no clue about what's up ahead to avoid it or take a different route. Now, because she bothered to download the app, her life is so much easier, and she, to put it in spiritual terms, can be victorious and overcomer on the freeways of L.A. I can't, because I didn't download the app. Now, why I'm telling you that story is that for every person listening, God has downloaded apps, spiritual gifts, talents and abilities, and resources into your human personality before the beginning of time. But in order for those gifts and talents and abilities and resources to work, you have to access them. You have to not only download the app, but you've got to activate it. So what I'm trying to tell you listening is, if you're fighting a spiritual battle or spiritual warfare, if you're only using 7 or 10 or 20 things that God has given you, because that's what you know how to use, I want to challenge you to go into the throne room of God by faith. Jesus said you have not because you ask not, and ask God specifically to give you everything that you need, the apps, okay, maybe a gift of discernment, maybe the gift of faith, maybe God has given you a natural talent, and you say, well, I can't find a job. Well, you don't know that God has already given you an entire app, an entire gifting in natural talents that you could make a living off of, even though you can't make a living off what you think is your current job training and experience. God has already given you job training and experiences that could be transferred to a different industry, a different field of work, where you could make really great employment, but you don't know that you have that ability. And we could go down the list. You're fighting this problem. And man, if you downloaded the app of exceptional people skills, and you've been told your whole life, well, you're just not that good at people, you know, your friend's a salesman, man, he's great with people. But no, God has given you incredible gifts. You just haven't downloaded the app by faith. So I'm saying that your life would be a lot easier, and you could be an overcomer in some of these trials that you're experiencing. And in fact, you could be victorious in some of these trials you're experiencing if you would go into the throne room of God and ask Jesus specifically to release those talents, those abilities that he's already put in you or he's willing to download in you, if you ask him, and you could be victorious. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, you're suffering unnecessarily, and you're losing spiritual battles unnecessarily, because you haven't taken advantage of all the resources God wants to give you, and the only thing that's holding it up is that you haven't yet asked God to give it to you in faith. And you say, well, I have a problem with that. Well, that's your problem that you have a problem with that, because you got to understand that Jesus said you have not because you ask not. You say, well, why doesn't God just give it to me? Well, God has given it to you, but you've got to activate the app in order for it to work. Now, how do you do that? And this, by the way, the same thing that I'm talking about also applies to the Christian church in America right now, as we are in the greatest spiritual battle for the history of our nation since America was founded. We are in the most intense spiritual battle we have ever been in. The stakes have never been higher. And what happens in 2016 and 2017 is going to determine the course of America, and it will be largely irreversible. That's how important the spiritual battle is in, that the church is in right now in America, right now. Because America is moving, at the present moment, America is moving at lightning speed into a totalitarian, globalistic, socialist state where true Christianity is going to be illegal. Many of your freedoms are going to be taken away. Your standard of living is going to go way down. And things could be very, very bad. But God has given us a window of opportunity right now in 2016, and by God's grace, 2017. That's why I wrote the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, because I have this incredible burden from the Holy Spirit to deliver this message. My people perish for lack of wisdom or knowledge. Without vision, the people perish. And God's people in America don't have a vision from the Lord, and they don't have the knowledge from God that they should have. And I want to communicate that. And you say, well, who are you to communicate it to? I'm just the guy who said yes when the Lord said, who will raise your hand? I'm just the guy foolish enough to have raised his hand. That's the only thing that qualified me, grace. So these same principles and apps that apply to our personal lives in terms of being victorious apply to the Church of Jesus Christ, which is now in the greatest spiritual battle that we've ever been in. But the Church of Jesus Christ in America is not winning the battles it should be winning. It's not being victorious in the areas that it should be victorious in, because the Church of Jesus Christ, or the Church collectively, is making the same mistake that the individual Christians that I've talked about, the same mistake they're making. The Church of Jesus Christ is not downloading the apps, if you will, that God has for them. The Church of Jesus Christ is not going into the throne room of God and asking God for the supernatural wisdom, the resources, the ability. Most of all, the Church of Jesus Christ is not asking the personal living God of the universe for supernatural strategies that will enable it to win and be victorious in the spiritual battlefields of America right now. The Church of Jesus Christ, like individual Christians, they're relying on their own finite human mind, coming up with their own finite human solutions and human plans. And as those human plans play out on the battlefield of life, they're losing territory, they're losing their freedoms, they're losing all kinds of things, they're being defeated by the adversary because they're relying on their finite human wisdom, which doesn't have enough to be victorious. And what they need to do is repent and say, Lord, I am sorry for relying on my human wisdom and my human gifting to try to win a battle that is bigger than I am. Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to go boldly into the throne room of grace, and I'm going to ask you, God, for your supernatural wisdom. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to download your supernatural apps into my life and into the body of Christ. I'm going to, most of all, God, before I get up and jump on a horse and charge into battle, I'm going to ask you, Lord, give us your supernatural strategies. Since you're the only one that knows the beginning from the end, since you're the Alpha and the Omega, since you reside outside of space and time, since you're the only one that's omniscient and knows all things, if I'm willing to surrender my pride and my know-it-all attitude and ask God for your supernatural strategies, and then be humble enough to say, you know what, Lord, I was wrong. That's called repenting of pride. Instead of going into the spiritual battlefield, instead of going into life, instead of going into relationships and saying, I know it all. Oh, I know this is the theological answer. Yes, I know that. I know this is that my theology tells me this. I know the Bible, blah, 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 blah. I know. Well, guess what? You don't know. You need to be humble. There's only one that does know, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are the creature, small c, before the Creator, capital C. We need to come into the throne room of God, repent for not having come into the throne room of God to begin with, ask God to give us his supernatural wisdom, his supernatural power, and his supernatural strategies. And if we will be faithful to do that, the body of Christ in 2016 can see a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle. But the body of Christ, or the church in America, will not see a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle up until the moment that it stops playing God and repents and goes into the throne room of God and admits that we've been wrong, we've tried to do it in our own strength, humbles themselves before God and asks for God's wisdom and God's direction and God's help, at the moment that the Church of Jesus Christ, at least a remnant, will rise under the power of the Holy Spirit and respond in obedience, because Jesus is Lord, not your buddy or your sensitivity workshop counselor. Jesus is Lord. When we respond to Jesus as Lord, which means we obey Him whether we like it or not, we surrender our will and our opinions to Him, when we rise under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which will only come when we are willing to say Jesus is Lord and receive His directions, at that moment, the tide of the spiritual battle will return, and we will begin to see God show up in our personal lives, and we will begin to see God show up in our nation like never before. Because right now, we're looking at the spiritual battle in America, and if we look at it through our finite human wisdom, it looks very bad for the Church of Jesus Christ and individual Christians. I need to just mention this, and many people are aware of it. You know, I'm not going to comment on how or why or if the Supreme Court Justice Scalia, how do you pronounce his name? I can't ever pronounce his
Scalia.
Name.
Yeah, Antonin Scalia. Scalia. I was schooled on his pronunciation. Antonin
Thank
Scalia.
You. Thank you, because I'm notorious for mispronouncing names. The Supreme Court Justice, he died under, at the very least, suspicious circumstances. Now, I'm not going to guess as to how he died, because I don't know. But I do know this. This I do know. I think it is extremely strange that all of the major media have aligned themselves. And when I say major media, I also mean the pseudo or counterfeit conservative radio talk show hosts and personalities. They've all lined up, the establishment media along with the pseudo-conservative media personalities and radio talk show hosts. They've all lined up, and they all have uniformly stopped covering the story regarding how did he die. And the fact that they're not covering the story of how did he die is, to me, the greatest proof that something questionable has happened. Because, you see, if they were simply doing honest reporting, this is one of the most powerful men in the world. Honest reporting would demand that, in light of all these facts that keep changing on a daily basis, it at least deserves an honest investigation. At least it deserves an inquiry. But the fact that there's no reporting on it whatsoever, even if the outcome of the reporting is to say he died under natural circumstances. I mean, one day I hear the pillows on top of his face, the next day it's on top of his head. One day, there's no mention of, for weeks, there's no mention of a sleep apnea, CPAP breathing machine in the room. And I don't have it now, but I suffered from sleep apnea. Thank God, by God's grace, I overcame it by changing my diet and by exercising. But I'm very familiar with a CPAP machine. How come there was no mention of a CPAP, sleep apnea breathing machine? And then one day there is. It's like Alice in Wonderland, and there's no reporting on it. And the fact that there's no reporting on it, to me, is the greatest single evidence that something is amiss. Because if the media was... I'm sorry.
I apologize for interrupting. I just wanted to ask, you know, I mean, you mentioned the pillow. If the pillow was not on his face, would there ever have been any mention of it? Do you think
it was just above his head, you know, between his head and the headboard?
I mean, that's
BS.
Like finding a dead body and saying they were wearing shoes. You know, just
that's a brilliant observation. I never thought about it. It's a brilliant observation. If the pillow was not on his face originally, you're right. There would never have been a mention on it. The very fact that it was mentioned and then it was unmentioned is another suspicious clue. So I'm not coming to a conclusion at this conjecture, but the fact that the media isn't even asking the normal responsible journalistic questions, to me, is evidence that they're operating under some kind of common command, including the fake conservative radio talk show hosts. And I hope your audience recognizes that there are legitimate conservative media and there's illegitimate conservative media. And you don't determine or discern whether somebody's legitimate in conservative media or illegitimate by how many times they quote the Constitution or how many times they talk about Jesus and how many times they mention prayer or how many times they talk about our founding fathers. You know, that's all window dressing. Anybody can say that. You judge a tree by its fruit. When you have Rush Limbaugh, for example, I wasn't going to mention people, but I'm going to mention his name because he has openly mocked any idea of conspiracy theories from the very beginning of his career. Now, that to me disqualifies him as a reliable source of information. I mean, I happen to be the author of The Babylon Code with Troy Anderson, which deals with secret societies and conspiracy theories. They're not conspiracy theories. They're conspiracy facts. Our nation was founded by the Illuminati and Freemasons. Fact. The founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, said as much in their own words. And if that's not enough to prove it to people, look at the architecture of Washington, D.C. So, I mean, to say that there's no secret societies or conspiracy theories, you're being you're lying. You're being intellectually dishonest. So that disqualifies you. But, you know, in the last 2 days, I'm reading about this secret society that the Supreme Court justice was part of, wearing green robes. And then I'm looking right now at the pictures in this resort that are obviously occultic. That they remind me, and I, you know, the movie by Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, has some very objectionable scenes, so I want to caution people. But they were wearing these masks, and I see these occultic demonic masks hanging on the wall of the resort, and they remind me of the very occultic artwork which is all over the Denver International Airport. And it's obviously occultic masks and occultic statues. I'm looking at an occultic statue or model of some kind with clawed fingernails and a hand, and the skeleton looking woman with her eyeball gouged out, and I'm looking at this terrifying skeleton creature. These are the symbols of death. So why, at the very least, why is the Supreme Court justice going to this elite resort where it has Illuminati occultic statues and symbols of death all around the place? And what is this secret society? Well, I did some research on this secret society, and this secret society that he belonged to was founded, and we deal with this extensively in the book, The Babylon Code. It was founded by the Bohemian Club, which was helped start the Bohemian Grove, and that's connected, of course, to the Illuminati and Skull and Bones and the rest of these secret societies. So the Supreme Court justice is a member of a secret society that has its roots in Europe with the Illuminati, but then in more modern eras, the secret society that the Supreme Court justice belonged to has its roots to a society that is connected with the Bohemian Club and the Bohemian Grove. Now, that to me is very, very interesting. And for those people who may not be aware of it, and I discuss this in my books in detail, heavy-duty historical documentation, so I'm not making this up. When you see the pictures of the Bohemian Grove, you see a picture of a great owl. Now, that great owl statue is Moloch, and Moloch is written about in the Old Testament. And Moloch was one of the primary gods that the Canaanites, the wicked, evil tribes that were fighting with the children of Israel and ancient Israel, and when Israel backslided, they too began to worship Moloch. And the primary characteristic, according to the Old Testament, and I talk about this in my book, I give the scripture verses. The primary characteristic of worshiping Moloch was that you would burn your children alive and offer your children, as you burn them to death, as a sacrifice to Moloch. That was the primary means of worshiping the false god Moloch. Now, that's hideous, because they really did that. Now, when we look at the Bohemian Grove, we see a giant statue of the owl, which represents Moloch, and the participants in the Bohemian Grove, which is a who's who of U.S. presidents, senators, scientists, heads of industry, including Ronald Reagan, by the way, he went to the Bohemian Grove. They conduct mock sacrifices of children, where they burn effigies. Not, that means not real children. They burn, I guess, you know, dolls or replicas of little boys and girls, and offer them up to Moloch. Now, my question is,
yeah, ostensibly,
how is,
by the way,
what?
Ostensibly, right. By the way, yeah, only because right. we've had a couple of different reports that some were not just effigies there. But anyway, go ahead, sir.
So let's just say it was effigies for the moment, not real. And you have presidents and scientists and heads of banking institutions and industries going to the Bohemian Grove, all right? And they offer these mock sacrifices to Moloch of burning children, these effigies. Now, the question has to be asked, why would the most elite class in our nation go to a club, which they do, by the way, conduct sexual orgies and they get drunk. That's pretty well known, what goes on in the Bohemian Grove. But why are they, even in mock, why are they worshiping the god of Moloch? That tells you something about the who they're really worshiping.
Yeah.
Because this goes all the way back to ancient Canaan, and these were satanic sacrifices, and Moloch is a satanic god. So we have
King Solomon. King Solomon came under the influence of Moloch when and it's a quote in 1 Kings 11:5-8, and it talks about this, and he was honored by worshipers, and they built the, and he became part of the festivities, if you will, of sacrificing the children. And they even say that they used, under the actual deity or whatever you'd call it, the idol, they would have actual pieces of the children that were sacrificed in jars or other places, the debris of these children that they had there, as well as the children that they continued to sacrifice to Moloch or Baal, as it goes back to.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's very, you know, that's it should be hideously intense to anybody listening, but it's true. It's a true historical fact, and the fact that the elite of our nation are doing this in effigy or mock ceremonies is disgusting in and of itself. I don't think it's humorous at all to be carrying out mock sacrifices of burning children alive in front of Moloch. I mean, there's many people who are political leaders and presidents, et cetera, who went there who claim to be born-again Christians. I have the Holy Spirit inside me. You gentlemen have the Holy Spirit inside you. I think anybody in your audience who truly has the Holy Spirit inside them would be grieved and would want to not participate in the ceremony. So if somebody claims to be a Christian politician and can participate in that ceremony without the Holy Spirit being grieved, I would suggest to you that either they're in great spiritual deception or the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside them to begin with and they're just faking their Christianity. So this is the spiritual, these visual things are indicators of a deeper supernatural infrastructure or architecture of evil that exists in the United States of America. And I want to point something out, because I deal with this in my book, A Prophecy, The Future of America, 2016-2017. I talk about the story of Josiah, and he was one of the kings in Israel who his father, who was ruling Judah, they allowed the temple of God to be filled with pagan altars, statues of Moloch, all kinds of abominations were in the temple before Josiah took over. Now Josiah, unlike his father, loved the Lord and had the Spirit of God upon him. And one of the first things that Josiah does in the Old Testament account is he cleans out the temple of God. He gets rid of all the statues of Moloch, all the occult and satanic statues and ritual things. He cleans the temple out because he wants to restore true worship. And then, as they're going through all the these abominations of occultic statues, etc., one of the men under assignment from King Josiah discovers the Word of God. In other words, things had gotten so bad in Judah that in the temple of God, they had so many pagan altars and stuff that the Word of God was buried under the rubble, deep under the temple, because the priests had become so corrupt that they didn't even read the Word of God, and it was buried under the rubble. So all of a sudden, Josiah was able to recover the Word of God. And so what he did was he gathered all the people, and he made them read the Word of God together out loud. And when he heard the Word of God, he heard clearly a message of the blessings that come upon God's people if they obey the Word of God and they don't worship false idols, and then, of course, the curses that will come upon them if they disobey the Word of God and they worship false idols. And so it caused him to repent. They cleansed the altar, and for a season God supernaturally blessed the children of God because they cleansed the altar and they stopped disobeying the Word of God. Now, what that says to us in our lifetime is that revival, a third great awakening, can come to America now, but God has laws, and in order for it to happen, it has to happen according to God's laws, which means that there has to be true repentance. Now, I'm going to go back to a guy's name named Willis Harmon, and as you pointed out, Doug, I have a photographic memory in terms of things that are important to me. My mind stores them. I can go back 30 years. So, like, I read The Aquarian Conspiracy by Marilyn Ferguson many, many years ago, and the name Willis Harmon always came up because he essentially commissioned Marilyn Ferguson to write The Aquarian Conspiracy, which was like a New Age manifesto of what the United States should be under a New Age government. But the key player was Willis Harmon, who worked for the Stanford Research Institute. And he was very high up in the Stanford Research Institute, which was connected to the Tavistock Institute. And he was one of the prime promoters of using LSD as a means of mind control and shattering the Judeo-Christian mind and embedding the minds of millions of people with occultic ideas and New Age ideas and communicating with the dead and all these occult rituals. And his name was Willis Harmon. And he was very high up in this New Age movement, which was created, by the way, by the Tavistock Institute. Now, what I began to discover as I was doing research for this latest book is that on one hand, we have the cultural Marxists in the Frankfurt Institute. And by the way, it's the cultural Marxists in the Frankfurt Institute, using men like Peter Drucker, who becomes the guru of what's called the seeker-friendly movement. So the entire seeker-friendly movement, the methodology of church growth that's employed by the majority of evangelical churches in America today, they're using a methodology of church growth and the way they build their churches and the worship and the organization and the internal structure of the evangelical churches in America, about 70% of them, is based on the thinking and methodology of not men of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's based on, all these churches are based on the foundation of a methodology that was developed by the cultural Marxists in the Frankfurt School, of which Peter Drucker was connected, And he directly met with the heads of the seeker-friendly movement, and he taught them how to incorporate what they call principles of church growth. But these principles of church growth were all created by the cultural Marxists, whose highest agenda was to destroy the church. So right yeah. now, modern evangelical Christianity in America is operating under a system of evangelism, church growth, the way they conduct worship, that has all been constructed by cultural Marxists who, in their own stated goals, call for the destruction of the church. But then it gets worse than that. You go back to the 1970s, and I have documentation for this in my new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. You go back to the 1970s, and there was the Billy Graham School at Wheaton College. And at the Billy Graham School of Wheaton College, this evangelical university, in the 1970s, they invited Willis Harmon and others to speak and lecture to the leading evangelical leaders of evangelical Christianity in America. They gathered at the Wheaton School, the Billy Graham School at Wheaton University, and they heard Willis Harmon lecture them in detail. And I have transcripts, which I quote in my book. And Willis Harmon is talking to them about their need to open up to a cultic spirituality, the need to get involved in supernatural and New Age activities like meditation, not Christian meditation, Eastern mystical meditation, communicating with the dead, clairvoyance. And Willis Harmon, of course, is very high up in the New Age movement because he's the man who commissioned Marilyn Ferguson to write the Aquarian conspiracy. He's also very high up in Tavistock Institute, mind control using LSD, and he's also a specialist in transforming culture through the business arena. So here Willis Harmon is, probably the most powerful and influential leader in the New Age movement and Stanford Research Institute. He is lecturing the most prominent evangelical leaders in the 1970s at the Billy Graham School at Wheaton College, and he's teaching them about the need to get involved in all these occultic, supernatural, New Age activities. And when you read the transcripts, there is no, they're not rebuking him. They're all essentially accepting what he's saying with a minor disagreement by one Christian leader. So they're basically, at least from the transcripts published by the Wheaton College, that they're essentially accepting what Willis Harmon is saying because they're not objecting to it. Now, he's talking about occultic New Age spirituality, demonism, consulting with spirits, all the things that the Bible forbids specifically. And these evangelical leaders are accepting it. And this is in the 1970s. Ironically, it's in the 1970s that Paul McGuire at the University of Missouri, who was majoring in altered states of consciousness, who had been deeply personally involved in the New Age movement since the time he was 12 years old, I was practicing all these things personally. I was deeply involved in the New Age movement. I get miraculously saved at the University of Missouri and am supernaturally converted to Jesus Christ as my Lord. But at the same time, these major evangelical leaders at the Billy Graham School in Wheaton College are listening to a man that I'm running from this guy's teaching, and these evangelical leaders are accepting his New Age and occultic teaching. Now, it didn't stop there, because the penetration and infiltration into the evangelical church has transformed. At least 70% of the evangelical church today is operating not on the basis of biblical teaching or a biblical foundation or a biblical worldview. They're operating on the basis of cultural Marxism, using different words, and New Age teaching, using different words, and they've strayed from the Word of God. What I'm telling you is that they are, the evangelical leadership in America, for the most part, are acting exactly like King Josiah's father and the other leaders, spiritual leaders in Israel, who disobeyed the true God and began worshiping Moloch and worshiping pagan statues and practicing occult ceremonies in the temple of God, that King Josiah had to go into the temple of God because it became so corrupted. He had to cleanse out the temple and find the word of God buried under the rubble of pagan idolatry and bring it out so a revival could come. I am suggesting to you that the evangelical church is powerless in this critical moment in history because they have rejected the word of God and are secretly, whether they're using the name Moloch or not, they are worshiping the gods, the demonic gods, and conducting demonic practices. Now, it's not that simple. They're doing it with subtlety. They've changed the names. So for example, they will call the Eastern mystical practice, which involves you communicating with the demonic presence, they'll call it contemplative prayer. So they've changed the name to make it more palatable. But the point is, you have huge numbers of the evangelical leadership, evangelical churches in America. They have rejected the Word of God. And when you reject the Word of God, you become spiritually powerless. The purity and the power of the Holy Spirit can no longer anoint and visit you. You cannot have revival. You cannot have a third great awakening. You cannot have the dunamis power of God coming down from heaven, flooding a righteous remnant in these churches when they are in their hearts and minds fornicating with the spiritual idols of demonic powers. There has to be a repentance and a cleansing of the abomination, like Josiah cleansed the temple in the Old Testament. Only when that happens, true repentance, can there be revival. So what I'm suggesting to you is we have a power problem here in the United States of America. And the power problem is there's a short circuit between the dunamis power of God and the glory of God and the power of revival and the power of the Holy Spirit and power from on high, which came down on the original apostles and disciples in the day of Pentecost. What is preventing a visitation from on high, power from on high, from descending upon the church and anointing the church with power from on high, which enables the church supernaturally to become overcomers, to win the spiritual battle, to turn the tide of what's going to happen in America. There's a power problem. There's a short circuit in the transmission of the dunamis power of God coming down from heaven upon the church, and that short circuit is the sin of idolatry, demonic worship, and pagan practices, and a rejection of the Word of God, which is just as egregious in our time as it was in the time of King Josiah. And God did not write the account of King Josiah in the Old Testament to entertain bored Christians. It's a living, vibrant example of how God, in this time, 2016, wants to supernaturally intervene into the affairs of America and change the spiritual course before destruction happens. But God demands, because He's a holy God, repentance. And when that repentance is real and God's people come boldly to the throne of grace, we will see a visitation of power from on high on this nation that will rock America like the first great awakening rocked the 13 colonies. We will see revival. We will see repentance. We will see God show up like we've never seen Him before. And instead of us being led to the concentration camps, we will be a victorious, spiritual, law-abiding, peaceful army that can take back America for Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, brother.
Amen. And, you know, you're so right on the money with the way that they operate, and, you know, the these New Age religions, these infiltrations of the Christian church, Christian religion belief system, and the effect that it has had, the subtlety being key to the effect. Now we're seeing the overt, and now it's coming quickly. Folks, we'll be right back with our final hour with Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us, his YouTube channel, Paul McGuire. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.